It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock. Patty Vasquez with Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez comes up at 11. Well, tonight was the big opening for Matilda, the Broadway musical coming down to the, was that the Oriental Theater?
The Oriental Theater.
Here in Chicago. Chris Jones is there,
here
the
we
chief
are.
theater critic for the Chicago Tribune. Good to see you. Here with the hot take. So how was the show?
It's a big show. It's a great show. It's, you know, based on this sort of dark, macabre Roald Dahl book. And that's sort of melded together with this idea of, you know, being nicer to kids and touchy-feely. And it's got these great songs in it. I'm kind of obsessed with this song called When I Grow Up. Really sweet song about, you know, about what it's like to be a child and wanting to be an adult. And then how when you are an adult, Justin, I'm here to tell you, you kind of want to be a child again.
that's the takeaway, huh?
That's the takeaway.
The only Matilda I know, I mean, I know the Roald Dahl books, but yeah, the Danny DeVito, Rhea Perlman movie.
That's not relevant. It's really not relevant.
That's the frame of reference I'm going on.
Perfect.
I've seen that
that's
a couple
a perfect
times.
Idea.
So that's, yeah, it's really good.
No, it's a great show. And it was packed tonight. They're making, they're doing pretty well, those Matilda.
It's a quick run. It's only
three weeks.
Yeah. They come in, they come out. This is sort of now this is what happens with Broadway musicals after they sort of shine. They come on tours at different
exactly.
Accounts,
yeah, but so. This is a good quality tour. I'm always conscious of, you know, is the tour up to snuff? And I thought this was. It's a really good show. I mean, it's a good show. Even a cynic like you could enjoy it.
All right, so let's talk about, you know,
the producer's
one of the things
laughing at that. Clearly, that hit home.
Yeah, that definitely hit home. This is sort of part of, you know, you wrote this week about the 20th anniversary of Broadway in Chicago, which is the...
The Chicago the Musical, yeah.
Yeah, and Chicago the Musical, you had a great column about their sort of, I guess their tagline.
Yeah,
right?
new advertising campaign.
It's a new advertising campaign, which is killing it.
Worldwide.
And you took a little, I mean, it's poking fun a little bit, but a little umbrage to the fact that that's probably not the greatest sensitive marketing campaign.
I just felt, as sensitive marketing campaigns go, that was not your grade A, killing it, you know, Chicago, killing it worldwide.
Right.
And I'm reading that, I'm like, are you kidding? I mean, we need that. I mean, I just thought that was a little. I mean, you know, obviously it is a show about murderers. Let's stipulate that. But it's, you know, I just would have thought there could be a little more subtle. It's a song and dance show. They really didn't need to say that. So I wrote this column, and there was some beautiful new pictures. So I thought, well, what the heck? We'll give people an excuse to click on the pictures. Why not? So I got a little outraged, Justin. Mildly outraged
from your work. No, I don't.
And then the producer calls me up. Barry Weiss, he says, Chris, he talks like this. He's like, Chris, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to me, Chris? I said, Barry, I'm selling you a lot of tickets. Come on, let's be honest. It's right there on the front page of the ChicagoTribune.com. I'm selling you tickets. He's like, oh, Chris, what was I going to say? You wanted me to say doing it worldwide? That would have been sexual, he said. And I said, well, I think that would have been better than killing it,
right,
Barry. You know, but anyway, we had a good laugh. He's a great guy.
My brain is moving where I feel like we have a new segment with Chris Jones. So the calls that he gets after he writes a column, that
exactly.
should be, and you do the back and forth. But this, you know, that, I mean, it was an interesting column because it was the sensitivity to what's happening in the real world as opposed to sort of what's happening on the stage. And sometimes, you know, you kind of miss, it feels like I'm on your side. It feels like you kind of missed the mark.
Well, you know, if you hang out in Times Square and you hang out outside that theater where Chicago plays, that's all international tourists walking through those doors. And there's no question that all they know about anyone who travels internationally will tell you this, right? That, you know, that there's this reputation. That show has a lot to do with it. I actually think that show has some sort of responsibility to our town. And we've been very good to it over the years, for the record. Mm-hmm. Killing it worldwide? Come on. How about all that jazz, razzmatazz?
There's so many ways you
something.
Can go with
that. So many ways you could avoid that. Wouldn't
and
you say?
I guess you're right, because that musical with the name Chicago on it, international tourists come through. Thinking about that, thinking about what other musicals in your head or even plays represent the city like that, I'm trying to think of shows that are.
Well,
that
the front page, I think, would be one, right? That's a, you know, that's a great title. That's the consummate Chicago play in many ways, set in a newsroom. But I think, you know, of all of them, really, Chicago, it's a really interesting, the backstory of that show is so interesting because it was written by a former Chicago Tribune reporter, Maureen Dallas Watkins. And the theory has always been that she was a reporter who turned into a playwright. because she wrote the real Velma and Roxy in that show are based on actual Cook County murderers. It's everything in that show is absolutely true. Right. It really is. It's striking how close it is to the stories she wrote in the Tribune about those murderers. I think she got the names from some old murder in Indiana, actually. But other than that, she changed the names, but the events are all true. And the story has always been that she was a reporter who became a playwright. But I'm convinced that she was a playwright all the time. And she walked into this very building where you now sit in these lonely late night hours. Yeah. And she pretended to be a reporter. Really, she was like, this is all material for my next play.
that's quite possible.
Had there been a download then, yeah, she'd have been sitting right here. She'd have been sitting right here.
Well, there you go. Chris Jones is the chief theater critic for the Chicago Tribune. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'd love to talk to you about some other columns. Obviously, the last time we were in, we talked about marketing, but we talked about getting butts in seats because the Goodman had that, the article about the most, $143 ticket. but there was, we kind of touched on it, and you wrote about the idea of subscriptions still being the lifeblood of the local theater. And even with all the other things trying to get people in, they really need to stick with that. It's not that different than newspapers. We'll talk to Chris Jones when we come back here on The Download. Stay with us.
And when I grow up, I will eat sweets every day. On the way to work, and I will go to bed late every night. And I will wake up when the sun comes up, and I will watch cartoons until my eyes go square. And I won't care, because I'll be all grown up.
There you go, a little sample from Matilda there. Chris Jones, chief theater critic. The hot take, he liked it. It was tonight.
Beautiful.
The opening night, 3 weeks here in Chicago.
Beautiful.
It's pretty much sold out.
Close.
These shows, they don't necessarily need that kind of push. I mean, there's such a fervor for shows that are Broadway musicals.
Well, and especially, the family musical. And it's spring break, right? So that was all, kids and them. A lot of moms and daughters tonight. A lot of moms and daughters in the house tonight. And it's, it's the time of year. It's just an adorable show. What could be more delightful?
Okay, so another adorable show that's opening tonight on Broadway, Steve Martin.
Well, okay show with Edie Brickell, who co-writer Mrs. Paul Simon.
Yeah, of course.
And they have written a sort of a show called Bright Star, which is a bluegrass musical, and it is the very rare sort of red state show on Broadway, all liberal lefty Broadway. And now here is a show that's all about, it's got a kind of religious overtone.
Really?
It's set in North Carolina. It's actually pretty artful. I was, Steve Martin is incredibly I'm sitting there going, you've had the career that he had. And then at his point in his career, he's now written the music. He's written the book with Edie Brickell. But the music, the book, and the lyrics to what is, by any standards, a very well-crafted Broadway musical. Not perfect. Got its flaws. But I was just like, wow. That is, Steve Martin. Got to tell you.
He's always been a talented guy. I mean,
he's talented.
Even when his early stand-up, he was able to play the banjo and do things that others couldn't do.
But you always thought the banjo was a bit of an adjunct to the comedy, right? And now here he is later in life, sort of nothing funny about this show. It's deadly serious. And it's like he's flipped it around. I always admire people who can do that.
Yeah.
Reinvent themselves in that manner. Very impressive, I thought.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Very impressive.
You got a very impressive. Put that on the back of
Steve Martin.
Steve
Big
Martin.
Big talent, in case you didn't
very
know.
Very impressive. some other stories. I mean, I mentioned right before the break, the column you had about subscription services.
Yes.
You made a great sort of case for theaters are not unlike newspapers.
Yes.
Where, yes, you want to put everything online and you want to sort of get younger audiences in, but the bread and butter is a subscription, and it continues to be. And in some cases, It shapes the way that the content has to be on the stage.
Well, it's like, the thing about the subscriber, like the subscriber to my beloved newspaper, is, those are your loyal folks. Those are the people who are reading you day in, day out, your loyal listeners right now who have made a point to switch
Absolutely,
on the radio.
Yeah.
Those are the people who are engaged with you that you really want. And, it's fickle. The younger audience is buying on a discount and never going to be, I'm not going to support you in that way. I mean, on Wednesday night, I was at the beautiful new Writers Theater in Glencoe, $30 million dollar theater.
Genie Gang,
spectacular building in Glencoe. I mean, talk about transform Glencoe. I mean, it's amazing. I was actually sitting there last night going, am I in Glencoe? This is in Glencoe. I can't believe it. And, you know, that was built by the subscribers, really, funded mostly by the subscribers of that theater. People, obviously, is in a nice, wealthy part of town, that theater. But nonetheless, those are generous people who are committed to it. And look at it. There it is. So that's the lesson, I think, that you take from that.
Well, I mean, I always think of, you know, even some of the models that are more like pledge drives.
Yes.
Or, you know, or what you see like Kickstarters. I mean, you are young people will get in, but the idea is to try and make them, you know, lifelong subscribers.
Exactly. It's all about loyalty and commitment and engagement, as they say, you know.
And how do you do that? I mean, that I guess is the interesting part about how you make sure that you appeal and appease the subscriptions, the loyal base, and be able to grow that
right.
by bringing in something new.
Well, what do you do on the download? Like, how do you get that loyal download? Right now, who's thinking, I'm sorry, it's almost
this 11. Is the most eclectic show in the history of radio. I think right now we're just trying to get everybody. I mean, even tonight has been all over the place. But I think, you know, content wins. I've always believed the concept, and I think it attracts, I think theater too, is content is king.
Yes, it is.
If you put on a good play in any form, whether it's a geared towards young people, geared towards, but you put on a good play, people will come.
Or a good radio show.
Right.
People will listen. They'll be
thinking, the idea.
I can't believe it. It's only 7 minutes to 11 o'clock. I've been, you know, I what am I going to do at 11 o'clock? They're all thinking right now.
I'm going to listen to Patty Vasquez.
There it is. That's perfect.
All right. So the last story, which is an amazing one for 2016. I read this, the column you had just about, and I thought, wait, is this 19? This seems like a 1980s kind of thing. Yeah. The Aveda. Classic.
The classic. Yes.
It's at the Marriott, right?
At the Marriott,
Lincolnshire. And it's a play that the cast, as you point out, is all white.
Yes.
That's a problem for this play.
I would say it is. Now, you know, it is always, these things are complex, as you know, Justin. I mean, you can argue that Aveda was written by two Brits. And the style of it is about as Argentinian as, you know, the steakhouse on Southport Avenue. So let's be honest, it's a hybrid. So, and of course, there is a great tradition of...
But you brought up the point that there's no people of color in the show.
No, I mean, and I think that, you know, their argument was that the casting pool in the city is the casting pool. When you were doing very dance-heavy shows, there's only so many actors to go around of any persuasion. But on the other hand, a lot of people in town were like, oh, come on. Like you're saying, you know, in 2016, really, we're having this argument?
Is that – I mean, do you buy that argument?
I recognize that Chicago has a limited number of dancers who can – I do recognize that.
Who can do that kind of music.
Who can do that kind of – and by limited, I don't mean 10, but there's probably 100 or maybe 200. And and if you've got a lot of shows going on, many of those actors are busy. That much is true. But they also cast in New York, so they're able. In New York, it's not the same problem. And at the end of the day, you know, Broadway has really changed. You don't see that on Broadway anymore. So I think people have just got to kind of lighten up and wake up, and they've got to sort of just get with the program if not a bit.
All right, one last question. You know, what show should we go see this weekend? It's Easter weekend. Probably not this weekend because people might not be doing things because of holiday.
Yeah,
but for you, Chief Theater Critic, what's a show?
Well,
that
the one I would go to, and this is going to sound weird because it sounds like the most depressing show on earth, frankly, but it's this show at the House Theater about the Sioux City United Airlines crash.
Yes, yes. Seen a lot of press on that.
Which is very, very good. And it's basically... It's based on Lawrence Gonzalez, an Evanston writer, who wrote the story of that plane crash, which, as you probably know, had a lot of survivors. So he was able to interview all of the survivors. Also had a lot of people who did not survive. It was half the plane survived, half the plane didn't. And it was a heroic landing that was done in rural Iowa because they lost control of the hydraulics of the plane. And the show is just about what happened. But it's also about, because the people that survived talk to him, it's very much about what their lives are like now. Like, what happens to you if you're almost in a plane crash? You reorder your life. You go, okay, this is not important. This is a lot more important than I thought. So I actually found it a very, very affirmative kind of show because, firstly, you understand the heroism of some of the people who are in that plane, and ordinary heroes who do exist and do, and if you're lucky enough to be sitting next to one of them when your plane goes down, you're in better shape, you know? And so there's that side, and then also people just teaching you about how their lives changed. And it's a really cool show.
It's at the House Theater.
It's at the House Theater. And I've been hearing all week, and this is really true, I've been hearing all week from flight attendants. I got a letter today from a pilot talking about that flight and about what was done and the heroics of the people in the crew. A lot of people, because the flight was going to Chicago, it was coming from Denver and landing in Chicago. So there was an enormous number of Chicago connections on that plane. And so all of people have been writing to me all week with those stories. It's been amazing. I didn't know a lot of it. I just didn't know a lot of the number of connections of that crash to this city. So it's kind of an amazing show. And everyone goes, oh, my God, you really? You're going to go? I'm like, no, it's really cool. It's a really cool show.
Chris Jones, chief theater critic, Chicago Tribune. He comes in and gives us the hot takes on what he's covering. That's your life in the theater is perfect for late night radio.
Yeah, it's perfect. You step right on
in. Just step right in. You just right off the seat. They're like, Mr. Jones, do you want to stay for the talk back? You're like, no, I gotta go.
I gotta
do
the download.
Man.
The download awaits. 10:40. 10:40 on a Thursday.
Chris, great to see you.
All right, man. Good to see you.